Hi folks, it's Shamash here. I'm together with Calvin.
Hello.
And we are walking Richmond Park in Southwest London. And we want to share with you the fact that we're going to be starting off a new series from the Mindful Conversation. So our first series was about essentially mindfulness, ACT and the hero's journey.
Yeah.
And what would you say this next series is going to be all about?
It's going to be about artificial intelligence, moving forward with wisdom and mindfulness and compassion. What's the next chapter in the human story?
That sounds fascinating. I want to listen to that. So to kind of kick it off, we want to share a little bit about our story of what happened just about a month or so ago. We're recording this in late May 2023. And a few weeks ago, we went to a conference called Wisdom 2.0. Conference I've been to a few times before in the past in San Francisco, and Calvin had heard about it, and actually he was one who booked the ticket first.
Yeah, well, I think it was the funny thing was I sent Shamash an email. I said, oh my gosh, this thing just landed in my inbox right at the time I was thinking about the subject. You know, I mean, if you're on my mailing list, I've sent a very personal email about what I was reflecting on with the changes going on technologically. And I think that kicked off a bit of a serendipity for you as well, didn't it?
Yes, because at the exact same moment, within half an hour, another friend of mine also sent a text message saying that he's also booked a ticket to this conference. So I thought, okay, two of my good friends have booked this ticket. I think I need to go to his company and through the crowd, but I still thought I'd join in. And so we decided to go off to this conference, Wisdom 2.0 in San Francisco. Now, I think the draw for us all was partly the rise in this talk about AI. We've had this technology that no doubt most of you have heard of, ChatGPT. And the founder of the company that started that, the founder of OpenAI, that speaker was one of the main speakers at that conference, Sam Altman. And he was going to have a conversation with renowned mindfulness and meditation teacher, Jack Kornfield. And so that was, I think, part of the reason why we wanted to go. And there's a lot of the topics related to AI. And both Calvin and I are wondering, you know, it seems like we're entering a new age and there's all sorts of different thoughts about it. And how does this link up with what we're so passionate about? Mindfulness, meditation, consciousness, awareness, wisdom. How does that link up with AI? And so we thought, hey, you know, maybe we can explore it together in our conversations, maybe speak with other leaders or experts in the field and just try and unpack how we can meet this new age of AI. I don't know if you have any other thoughts on the back of that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it'd be good for us to explore that as well. So I'm really excited to learn from new people who we haven't met before, maybe hear from some people who we have already been engaging with over the years to pull out some of these, because this is very emergent, isn't it? I mean, That's basically what we're saying. This is emergent, it's changing all the time, but it certainly feels alive in everyone. And I think at the conference, one of the things we heard was that this is probably one of the most significant periods in human history in terms of discoveries, technological revolutions, and so on. And I think people are feeling that at some kind of visceral level. So really excited to even just me and you coming back together, actually. Yeah. And reflecting on some of the conversations that we have and sharing that with our audience and inviting people to get involved in the discussion with us, actually.
Absolutely. Well, Calvin and I, we've been actually chatting for the last couple of hours over a cup of coffee or tea about actually what we're... Okay, it was more than one. We were trying to wake up, actually. What did we actually learn from this conference? What was our kind of key insights? What was it that we discovered having come back from this event? And we've had some time to digest. It's been about 4 or 5 weeks as well, which is nice. And one of the things that we discussed is that there seemed to be this massive strength of emotion on either side. On one side, there was a lot of fear and a lot of people were scared, and
definitely,
we can sense that in society as a whole, you know, maybe people's jobs are threatened. There's all sorts of other things we could discuss as to why this fear around the emergence of stronger and stronger versions of AI. But then there was also excitement.
A lot of excitement, you know, people. And this is the other thing. I mean, at Wisdom Conference, a lot of people were there because they are seeking wisdom, or they want to know what their role is in helping wisdom to unfold in society. And I would say it was a great chunk of people who were really excited about what AI means as well, not just from the mass market point of view outside of, you know, these holistic practices, because there are a lot of people out there who just, of course, want to exploit the commercial opportunities, people who want to solve diseases and environmental problems, and there's lots of problems that AI can help solve. But people are also excited about how it can help us to be better humans, to be more, to lead more enriched lives, to maybe even, I guess, become more human, whatever that means.
Yeah, that was one of your, that was the kind of like a burning question that I think you asked quite a lot of people, actually. What is it that makes us human? Because as AI develops and starts to maybe respond in the form of chat or maybe audio or video like a human being, what is it that makes us human? And what makes us different from this artificial intelligence?
Yeah.
Did you come to any thoughts or insights? Is there certain things or themes that people seem to respond with when you ask that, Calvin, to people at the conference?
Yeah, I mean, some of the what we've been calling first the 3 C's, then the 5 C's, then the 7 C's. We're sailing the 7 C's at the moment. By the time we actually launch the podcast, we might be at 10 C's. But there are a lot of C words, which is the point.
Yes.
I think we asked a number of people we encountered. You know, we went to a monastery, which, you know, had a certain perspective there. And we spoke to our good friend, Brother Freedom, who's the abbot there. So what does it mean to be human to you? And just people on the sides of the conference and some of the usual suspects, which influence the 5 C's, right? Or the 6 C's or the 7 C's. Community is the first one that came up. Community, connection, creativity, contribution, compassion, curiosity, which was a new one emerged for us this morning, consciousness, and I guess how that all sits within purpose and meaning in life.
So these C's that tended to be starting with the letter C that people mentioned, these are the things that kind of made us human.
Lots and of C's that, being planted.
Yes. As I've always said, seize the day. Now I know what it means.
Do you see what I see?
Well, a C that's missing is actually comedy. And I think this is something that AI seems to be struggling with, is actually to tell a joke. And it may be able to in the future. But just going back to some of those C's, what about creativity, Calvin? Because, you know, many people argue that, you know, as long as we're creative, you know, we won't be challenged by AI. And now it does seem to be creating creative content. It appears to create creative images and video. Do you reckon it's starting to behave a little bit like human beings? Or are you talking about the need for humans to cultivate these qualities? And so one of the things that humans need to do is to be creative. What would you say?
I mean, I think humans are inherently creative, whether we are even aware that we are or not. But there is more intentionality around creativity that people seek, I would say, to really not just be attached to the output. I mean, even 6 months ago, you and I were walking in London, weren't we? And we were talking about this subject, actually.
Yeah.
And one of the things that emerged out of that exploration as we were walking along Regent Street towards Oxford Circus was falling in love with the creative process for its own sake. Not necessarily for what comes out of it, although that's nice as well. That becomes the fruit. Yeah. But what about the embodying and enjoying the creative process in itself as an integral part of being human and enjoying being human?
Yeah, that's so interesting. I saw a video the other day of a young artist, and she was excited in following a path in art and creativity, and she'd seen all these recent images being developed or generated by AI, and she was actually in tears because of, she felt that she couldn't really follow her dream or practice the kind of career that she wanted to, because of AI seems to be able to do that. I guess what we kind of, one of our mini conclusions that we drew in that conversation is that creativity, being creative, is so important for us as human beings, not because of the output, but because of that process itself is very therapeutic and it's very healing. So in the past, human beings would do an act of creativity, create something which a machine would never be able to do. now we're at a stage where possibly in the next 5-10 years, you know, this technology will be able to create art which is perhaps more beautiful than what a human being could, but it doesn't take away the importance of us human beings being creative. Yeah. And connecting with each other and doing the creative act, because of there's a healing process or in that. And so I guess the new challenge for us humans is, you know, can we not be put off by the fact that computers can create something amazing and yet still do our own act of creativity and create our own art just for the fact and the sake that we like it and we want to do it. And it's not about being the best piece of art, but about the actual process of doing it.
And that's, you know, what we're trying to reconnect with. I think that's what the advent of AI has given us the opportunity to do, actually, because now we can say, well, what is meaningful for us? You know, it's a conversation we've been having a lot. What gives people meaning in their life and purpose? And how can, now that AI is supposedly going to really transform society, how is it going to transform? So I think the question isn't so much whether it will transform or whether we want AI to develop, because I think that part is inevitable, it would seem. So the question is, how can we do these things where we fall in love with the process? You know, the best musicians are making music.
Yeah.
They are really deeply connected into their process of creation. Yeah. The output of the music is one piece which they can go, oh, that was great. And then when other people love that music, that's nice to have, but that's not the reason why they create the music in the first place. So that becomes a secondary benefit. They create that because they're intensely connected to the process of creation, something just emerging out of them. So if AI is going to give us all these opportunities to step away from administrative tasks that are boring, things that we would consider not creative or take us away from connecting with people who we love and want to be with, yes, and we have a choice now. And how can, in the case of using the AI, we use it in a way that helps us to realize these values more?
Love it. And I think this is the kind of conversations and debates that we're going to be having on our podcast over this series, and be very interested to hear from you and what your thoughts are about the age of AI and how mindfulness and compassion, all that will impact that, or will be important as we navigate this growth. Going back a little bit more to the conference, I just wanted to share a little bit more about some of the interesting insights that we had. One that kind of stood out for quite a few people was the CEO of one of the biggest meditation apps in the world called Insight Timer. CEO was called Chris Plowman. And he was very fearful of AI, actually. So he'd watched a YouTube video. I think the chap on the YouTube is called Tristan Harris, the Center for Humane Technology. I think that's where he works. And this video is called The AI Dilemma. And I watched it, and Calvin's watched it too. And it's about how as AI grows and develops and becomes more powerful, it will be able to create, well, there's several fears. One of them is that it can create content and imitate people very well. So it'd be able to create like this podcast that me and Calvin are creating. It would be able to, you know, use Calvin's voice or my voice and actually create a podcast, and it would sound like we're speaking about it, but it actually wouldn't be us. And so, you know, that fake content could actually influence a lot of people. It could have all sorts of ramifications. So that was one of them. The other one element of that video was how there's some initial signs that it may be able to be used to read people's minds. By sending brain scans of people and putting it into AI, AI can start predicting what you're actually thinking. And they've had some very early signs of that going on too, and the implications of that. So there's a few fears around there.
And we've seen a lot of films, stories, sci-fi, stuff like that, that highlights these things. Yeah. You know, we think of Minority Report with Tom Cruise in it from, I don't remember what year it was, but it's at least 20 years old, yeah, which explores some of these fears of, you know, the precogs are trying to predict what will happen by tuning into people before they commit the crimes.
So people get arrested before they've done the crime.
Yeah, because they just thought about it. And so all this kind of worries about the, shall we say, more harmful side or harmful potential that might, you know, manifest because of human, one part of human nature. Yeah. But there's another part of human nature too, which is the part we want to cultivate and use to our, I guess, betterment of the future, right?
Yeah. And I mean, we were talking earlier, and I guess we wanted to create that balance point between the two. We want to hear about the challenges of AI, but also the potential benefits. And if we go to the other side, you know, there was an interview with Sam Altman, who was interviewed by Jack Kornfield, who he's actually been a friend with for a long time. And it was quite interesting how he introduced him, wasn't it? He said he considers Sam Altman to be a servant leader. He thought he was very kind of authentic and true to his word. And Jack Kornfield sees this leader in the AI field very positively. And Sam Altman said he's released this technology just for people like us to get this conversation going about AI, because we need to think about it earlier rather than at a point when it's already quite powerful.
I think he actually might have had a good point there, actually, that, I mean, you know, he's become the poster child. I mean, he's not the only developer of AI or any of these language models or anything like that, but he's sort of almost become the spokesperson for it because he is attached and is the co-founder of OpenAI. So I think as a result, because of that action, we're able to have this conversation now. So in some ways, actually, it might have actually been the right thing to do.
Yeah. I think he has certainly triggered the conversation. I mean, the account argument is that he's released this very powerful artificial intelligence for absolutely everyone to use, including bad actors. So they may be using it for creating fake news. They may challenge democracy potentially in the next election with all the fake news that could be generated by it. There's pros and cons of all of these. That's interesting.
And actually, made me think of something there, actually. So you asked what we learned from the whole conference, but I just want to say one thing about what we learned from that one particular talk from Sam Altman about AI. Because there's two things that are coming to my mind now. One is, he said, what we're witnessing now is just a very tiny window or tiny glimpse into what's possible.
Yes.
And he's able to see behind the scenes what's possible and what's potentially coming.
True.
So that's one thing. And then the second thing he said was that we really have an opportunity to usher in a new era of abundance. Mm. And that will require some societal shifts if more people are to benefit from this abundance. So I am of the view, actually, I just wanted to share that, because the more we have these conversations around compassion, community, connection, all of these things that we're talking about that Shamash mentioned and that we listed earlier, may help to make that abundance more available to more people, potentially.
And this is the potentially very positive element that AI will bring. We did discuss earlier in our kind of private conversation about how actually there is already a lot of abundance. And, you know, if we shared all the wealth that's already available in the world, then everyone would be quite wealthy and have access to food and all the rest of it. Potentially, what AI may do is help humans to find the solution to greater financial equality as well as equality on different levels, maybe even reduce bias. I know there's arguments to say that it is biased at the moment, but potentially in the future, you could, because it's AI, it's not a human being, with its kind of, human beings have this natural flaw where we can easily get biased. Perhaps we can create a program, a computer, an AI, which won't be biased, and also could nudge human beings to educate them to start being less and less biased and highlight to us when we are biased on any level.
Yeah, that's definitely a really exciting avenue of exploration. There are a number of experts out there that talk on this subject, so hopefully we can share some perspectives on that as well with people and learn a little bit more. So it's a rich vein. Really, really, really excited, actually.
And then one of the things we want to kind of finish each of our episodes with is some practical tips. And we thought we would ask ChatGPT and Bing and Bard, you know, if it has any advice for how could people cope with a more AI-centered future, and how could we cultivate mindfulness and compassion in a world despite the AI. And it came up with some simple suggestions and some ones that make a lot of sense that we agree with too. First of all, actually lean in more to in-person conversations, connecting in person. If you've got a choice between having a call on Zoom or walking across the room or making a short, traveling a short distance to be able to meet in person, then, you know, lean in towards that whenever you can. Maybe schedule in weekly time to connect with people each in person or daily, however often you can.
That's the connection word, right? Again.
Yes,
and the other connection thing came up from I think it was Bard as well who suggested, which is Google's AI tool, connecting to nature.
Yes. Which is what we're doing right now, actually.
Because
as you're listening to us, we're walking through this beautiful field, these nice little yellow flowers, and Calvin's pulled one of those pieces of grass and is about to put it in his mouth.
Little trick I learned from the farmers back in the day, you know?
So, yeah, it's connecting with nature and connecting with each other. We're doing this in person. And I guess we will try and do these podcast conversations in person as much as we can, right?
Yeah.
That's part of what we believe in. So, yeah, maybe that's our little tip or a little nudge or a little reflection for you to consider. Seems obvious, but as AI starts to get more powerful, it is potentially going to make technology more addictive. So we need to use mindfulness to take a little step back and think about how can we spend a little bit of less time on screens and on our phones and a little bit more time in person. And we were just looking at a research earlier on that found that for example, if you limited social media to 30 minutes a day, then it reduced feelings of loneliness. And there was also something about, I can't remember what the other, can you remember what the other research said? Something about
if the phone's not in sight.
That's it.
You know, having these technological devices out of sight, in a way, they're kind of out of mind.
Yeah.
They reduce the distractions. And I mean, there's health benefits. Yeah, totally. Some of this we've heard of before.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think, how long have been phones around now? 2007, 2006 or 7. So we're saying 16 years. Is that about right?
Yeah.
So this is still a new, fast evolution. Right. You know, who was it that said we are Paleolithic bodies with a Neolithic mind or something like that with godlike technology?
Yeah.
Some author, right? I think it's fascinating. We're in a big era of change. And we just got sometimes go back to, like you say, the simple things.
Wonderful. So thank you so much for listening. Let us know if you have any thoughts or ideas of people we can connect with, people to talk to, or just your insights or thoughts from this podcast. You can probably include the links to our websites below here as well, so you can follow up with us too. But I think that's it for this episode, right?
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening.
See you in the next episode.
See you in the next one. And don't spend too much time on AI. And if you've got any good AI jokes, send them through too. See you next time. Bye.
Send your AI jokes over to us at connect@mindfulconvo.com. And we'd love to have you back for episode 2, where we hear from Kenley Neufeld, a Dharma teacher in the Plum Village tradition, a technologist and educator who has a lot to say about the potential upside of AI in the next chapter of the human story.